greet you all in Jesus' name. It's quite a blessing today. Beautiful day. We had lots of rain, cloudy weather, and now we've had a few days of sunshine, breeze, wind, and it's all these things are blessings of God. He gives us diversity of many diverse things throughout our lives. And it's not always what we like, it's often what we don't like. But he has mixed in it many beautiful things. It's certainly worthwhile to be serving our Creator. Yeah, often when we think through our lives, what we have come from, where we have been, the tests are we just have to ponder about what we have been. We know that God created us to be one with Him. He didn't want us to be separated from Him, and so He created a world that was perfect, but He also created us with this ability to make decisions apart from Him. We can reason, we can make choices, and it's I haven't figured out myself, I've not come to any conclusion. It must be that it's somehow the best way things can be is the way they are, that we're around sin and we all experience sin and been brought into bondage to it. That in itself is not the best way, but it is a way that we have to go through, seemingly. That's the part I haven't figured out, why we have to, but we don't need to know why. We know that it happens. And so we have to so somewhere in our life we have to decide if our choices are the ones that are pleasing to our Lord, Master, or whether we want to serve ourselves and just continue doing what we want to do. So the outworking of this, we know that there's bondage and there's freedom. And so I was just going to touch a little on that. We know the Lord wants us free. He wants us complete. He wants us whole. And to do that, we have to surrender to His will, because after all, His will is still more perfect, or just as perfect as the creation we can observe. I haven't really thought this through, but I think I can safely say Creation is perfect without sin. Creation gets used in sinful ways. His created things have been, all of them have been used in sinful ways. But that's not the creation part of it. It's only us using it in a bad way. So what I'm trying to say, His creation is perfect. The things He built into the earth is perfect. And so His ways for us to follow Him are also perfect, or more perfect, perhaps. We can observe this, and we can just know by observing the creation that He's a perfect creator, and He's perfectly creating a new man in us, a new person. That's His will. That's what He wants. Then we can go through the Bible, and we can very quickly observe that people have made wrong choices. And I don't know if the children want to get involved in this or not, but I was going to ask the younger ones, maybe up to 10, if they know of somebody in the Bible that made the wrong choices. And maybe what, well, I guess, yeah, the person and maybe what he did wrong. How he made a wrong choice and he fell. And then if there's nobody that has something, what about from 11 to 17? Does somebody have know of a character in the Bible that made a wrong choice and fell? And what about on up? Anybody know, want to share a character? I know there's many. Is anybody in particular that we think of when we, as an example of somebody that fell?
You mean you have a specific designation like New Testament, Old Testament?
Either one. I mean, it goes from Adam till today.
Oh, Ahab.
I hadn't thought of him, but he was making wrong choices. And had a very bad wife, giving bad counsel.
Saul, when he went ahead and he was supposed to conquer that city and he took some of the spoils that he was not supposed to?
I wrote Saul down as one of the people I think of. he had sinned many times before. He was falling away, and that was the cutoff point. That's when God said, this is it, it's done. And God knows that line perfectly.
I was thinking,
I got him down too. I used to be puzzled. I thought, well, he had to do wrong because he was Judas. He had to do wrong. But I've come to believe that he didn't have to. But there's many wicked people. There's no lack of them. So it's not like there's a shortage of them. He could have said, no, I'm going to stand behind Jesus. I believe that, at least. I can't prove it, but I believe it. But today we're still in that balance. We're alive and we can still make those choices. How about, do we have a character in the Bible that made the right choices? And he was able to rise up. He was able to be promoted. He was, and ultimately will be promoted in eternity if we like these examples of making the right choices. Well, I give anybody. Robert Kennedy says, I give up, so I kind of give up. So I,
Joseph,
you fled,
like
Joseph
was supposed to.
Hey, Robert, Leroy just said, Joseph. You said when you fled? Oh.
Fled from Potiphar's house.
Potiphar. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he made the right choice there. Yeah, he... And Saul, for that matter, it says Saul was a good leader as long as he was little in his own eyes. And sad to say, I guess Solomon fell a long ways too.
David, and he chose repentance or acknowledged his sin.
That's a big thing, isn't it? So we have these examples of different people that made choices, and I was just thinking, from bondage to freedom, I think, I'm not sure I could find it real quick, but I think Adam and Eve were told, like, there's a Messiah, or there's a Christ coming. I forget the wording it uses, but Jesus is a big deal. He's the ultimate when it comes to going from bondage to freedom or to eternal life. It's... Jesus, the word Jesus or Joshua, the meaning of it is to deliver or to rescue. He's Savior means one that saves from danger, or Savior just being saved. And the prophecy in the East came to Jerusalem asking, where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observe the star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and the scribes and the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophets. They were able to just go into the Bible, maybe the prophets, I guess. And read, to you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is a shepherd, who is to shepherd my people Israel. So there's this prophecy of Jesus. There's many. There's just one little one. But I found it interesting that he was, Bethlehem was supposed to be, I think, a little lower class or lower, not as popular or something, I'm not sure what, but. But, for from you shall come a ruler who is a shepherd. You know, when we have a ruler, we have a king, we have somebody over us. He's also a shepherd. He's the one that came to deliver us and to rescue us and to save us from danger and to be with us. He came from the Father. And he taught us the ways to eternal life. And And by doing His will, we can have eternal life. By fully surrendering ourselves to Him, giving up the sin, I think I've said this before. I think sin as a whole, the whole world understands sin. But what about deception? Who understands deception? It's a difficult word. It's difficult to think about. For one, how can you be deceived when knowing at the same time? I think maybe that's not possible. We're deceived because we don't know. But Jesus came even to save us from that. And I think, of course, the beginning is when He started in the Sermon on the Mount, when He said we need to be poor in spirit. We need to be lowly like He was. Then the thoughts went to Matthew 7, beginning 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. This is not so difficult to understand. These people are deceived. I believe people are deceived that say, Lord, Lord, and do not enter the kingdom of heaven. I think people sincerely say this. They sincerely think they're serving the Lord. But only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven is the one that I will enter. So, this gets back to this big battle in our lives. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many deeds of power in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. Those are very dreadful words to be told to us past our death. And we're standing before the judge, and he's going to say, I never knew you. And the reason is because we didn't do the will of the Father. He didn't say that we have to have some hyped up religion. He doesn't say we have to have great something, but just do the will of the Father. We follow the shepherd. We walk after the shepherd. And we can't do that with pride. Pride and walking after the shepherd is impossible. It doesn't happen. Then we're like these people who say, Lord, Lord. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. So I guess all I'm doing is emphasizing. I'm not bringing out many points of what this is. We hear it all the time. I think in our heart we often know it, but there's also this chance of deception. When we hear these words of Jesus and we act on them, so whenever we know that there's something good to do and we don't do it, we're disobeying this. But if we act on it and we do it, then we're this wise man that's building a house on a rock. And storms, like deceptions and hard times, things come. come along that we just simply don't want, we have to keep our focus on these words that Jesus spoke. People will try to say, you're not doing the right thing. You should be doing it this way. Or you should be doing it that way. We have to do it the way the Father wants us to do it. And that way you've got to have deaf ears to words. And even then it's fearful for me to think that everybody thinks they're doing the will of the Father, right? So I have to have my ears open at the same time. And it becomes very difficult. I believe we learn from our brothers and sisters. And if we close ourselves off completely, we're by ourselves. We end up, we can't get along with nobody but ourselves. That's just how it works out. Or maybe a bunch of deceived people. I believe that happens as well. And then we go on to, and anyone who uses these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell. And great was its fall. This is people that are trying to serve the Lord Jesus. They're trying to serve the Father. But they do not act on the words that we read, maybe in places where we know that God might prompt us in some ways, even perhaps. I don't know. I just kind of feel like we know a lot of times better than what we'd like to know. We have this idea that, oh, if I only knew. But is it that difficult to follow after Jesus? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. We just have to We can have relief, we can have freedom by, I can use this word like being honest with ourselves, but I find it difficult to describe a deception. Maybe it's clear in all of your minds, but I haven't got it mastered. But what I do want to master is being this person that only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. So the things that don't pertain to his will, we don't need to worry about it a whole lot. We need to discern. I mean, and the brothers and sisters have to discern whether this is the will of the Father. If it's not something he's concerned about, then we don't need to be concerned about it. If it's something that he's asking us to do, it becomes a life-saving thing. It becomes a difference. But only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven can enter the kingdom of heaven. This is nothing new. Just encourage us to not give up in surrendering to the will of the Father, in surrendering, which includes Jesus' words, and the Apostles' words, because he spoke only the things that the Father gave him to speak. He didn't speak anything else, at least not for doctrine. I don't know if he talked about wood and trees and grass and maybe that's the will of the Father as well, that we talk about his creation. It would not be wrong to, for sure. just something I wouldn't think of being the will of the Father, but it's okay. So that's all I have for this morning, and hope that we can let our hearts relax and surrender to Jesus and His teachings, apostles. I believe they knew and built the church. Therefore, their words would have to be the truth. Otherwise, they'd be building a false church. And I find it interesting, if I understand it correctly, like they used what they, when they were, they sorted through a whole bunch of papers that people had written, and their conclusion was that even the people that had been with Jesus, excepting Paul, I guess, in a sense, wasn't, but he's in a special way, he was with Jesus as well. So feel free to share, correct, or add. God bless you.
Amen, Brother Walter. Very simple and to the heart. He's the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey. As you said, Brother Walter, there's no shortage of those who did right and those who did wrong. One obvious one that I thought of was when Jesus was speaking, and there were two sisters, and one sister's name was Martha, and he said, "Martha, Martha, 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 you're busy about every foolish thing there is, not foolish, but worldly, but she has chosen the best part. She has chosen." So there's a choice. She chosen. Listen to the voice of the Savior. And one other one would be, and everyone was good on that, good versus bad, would be the thief on the cross. "I'm a crook, you're a crook." But this man in the middle, he's not a crook. He's not a crook. He didn't do anything like us. Today is the day of salvation. The Lord be magnified.